Hey everybody, it's Roland Comtois. Thank you so much for joining me today. Joining me here to share her wisdom and knowledge is Adele Ryan McDowell. Her book is called Making Peace with Suicide, and it is a topic we need to talk about. As you know from my journeys as a channeler and a messenger, I have met many people who have suffered through the loss of someone who's passed through suicide, and Adele is the right person to share the information. You know that here we want to bring you the experts who understand their field and who want to present information that is necessary. And I am very happy that you are joining us today, Adele. Welcome, Adele.
Thank you, Roland. I'm thrilled to be here.
You know, I read through your book, and it's fascinating. It's incredible. It's knowledgeable. And there are lots of amazing, helpful hints to help people who are struggling through the loss of someone. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into, you know, the interview part of our experience together?
Okay. Well, I live in neighboring Connecticut. I'm originally from Texas, y'all. I'm a psychologist, and I've done sexual abuse, suicide, and domestic violence hotlines over the year, a lot of disaster recovery work. Katrina, Newtown.
Wow.
And all sorts of things like that. And I've got a small private practice in Old Greenwich, and I talk to people on the phone or Skype all over the world. And like you, I get messages sometimes, not as easily as you do, but I do get messages. In fact, when I was doing this book, especially at the beginning and at the end, I could be in the shower and all of a sudden the tiles would turn into faces.
Oh, wow.
Or I'd look out the window and all the leaves on the trees, or the bush rather, would be faces, right?
Wow.
And I'd look at the carpeting and I'd see faces. And I'm like, holy smokes. And I had a conversation with a woman who I have trained with. She's a Brit, she's a doctor and a homeopath, and talks on all levels. And she said, you know, Adele, did you ever see the movie Ghost? I said, oh, with Whoopi Goldberg. She said, yeah. She said, well, you're a little bit like that right now. You've got all these people around you who have messages. And, you know, the book, I got a phone call. The conference happens every Labor Day weekend, and I got a phone call a number of years ago that said, oh, Adele, and I'll call her Susan. That's actually not her real name, but just to respect her family, that Susan had died, and two friends from the conference called me. They were both on the line. This was so weird, and I said, what do you mean? She just had her 65th birthday. I sent her an email. I knew various details about her life. We'd been in touch. I said, was she in a car accident? What happened? And they're hemming and hawing, and we don't know for sure. And then somebody called me back later, well, maybe it's suicide. Well, it was definitely suicide. But even these people who, you know, many of them, shamans, healers, higher consciousness people, they didn't even want to say the word suicide.
Is this what prompted you to write this book?
Well, yeah. I mean, I started, Roland, I did an article, and I'm at the kitchen sink doing dishes, and, you know, that little voice that says, okay, now you write a book. And I went, really? And then I realized everything I have done in my life in terms of my work, done a lot of, you know, worked in an urban clinic in terms of addictions. I've done a lot of trauma work with people who have been abused, and some vets, but primarily women have been abused and men have been abused. So everything seemed to fit in. But when I started writing the book, Roland, I thought I was climbing over barbed wire and broken glass.
Wow.
I would talk to people and think, oh, my God, what am I doing here? And then, you know how you get that shift and there's light and I had a shift. Wow. And I'm so grateful. And that shift took me to compassion in a much deeper, more profound way. And then the book became a much easier thing for me to do. But I will tell you, I have often felt, and I told you before we started this, I was very wired about the show. And then, you know, as we're getting started with the show, I'm wondering who's around us today because they want everybody to know something, don't you think?
I absolutely believe that. I believe that, you know, all the ups and downs that it took to get here to this moment of time, I think it's necessary. And I think the message that you offer, and certainly what I garnered from your book, people need to hear that story. You know, they need to know about it. We need to talk about it. And I think your representation of the barbed wire and broken glass, it somehow it's very symbolic to what people are going through when you think about loss from suicide. You know, it's kind of interesting, that analogy or that comparison. So you were encouraged somehow, this inner pulse inside of you told you should write a book about suicide.
Right. And so I did.
And you did.
And I think now it's been 4 years since Susan died. And during the course of the book, okay, you know, I talked to a lot of people. If you remember, you and I had coffee.
Yes.
We talked about suicide. And I was talking to somebody, and Susan came through.
Oh, wow.
And what it was I didn't want to go. No, I didn't want to go in a car accident because I would have hurt someone. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the energy of cancer. That mm-hmm. wasn't the way for me to go. And she did have some mental health stuff, which she shared with me. And I was kind of the one who knew that of this group of people that all got together once a year at this conference. And I never shared it with anybody. I'm a psychologist. That's the kind of the information that I'm going to hand out freely to anybody.
Sure.
But I do know that she had gone through something, and they had told her they were going to kick her out of graduate school because of what she went through from a mental health issue. And I always felt that what she went through made her a better therapist. She was the kind of therapist, she was a psychologist, she was very involved in dream work and family constellation work, and books would literally fall off the shelf. She would have things rearranged in her office.
Oh, wow.
You know, she was a soulful woman.
Wow.
So then she's this brave woman who goes out for a seemingly mental health reason, but she comes through and says, and then I find out later all sorts of other things in her life had ended abruptly, right? It was like the decks had been cleared.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Things had been changed.
Yes.
Her elderly mother who had been with her was now with her sister when she went into the hospital. All sorts of things had changed. And she raised her hopes. And so I said, ask her, is she doing, I bet she's busy. Is she, and the thing is, I'm doing more work than ever, more good work than ever.
Mm.
And so part of when I talk about the energy of suicide, I feel that there are a lot of things that compile that. Suicide is a global epidemic. On average, the World Health Organization tells us that we have a suicide every 40 seconds on this globe.
Wow.
Every 40 seconds.
Wow.
Right?
I had no idea.
The United States, the number is every 13 minutes, but around the globe, every 40 seconds. And we know, everybody listening would know, that suicide is a result of pain. And, Roland, if you and I were in the same room and I put a pillow over your face, you would automatically struggle with me because our drive, our primal drive is life. So it's the pain is that great. Remember when Robin Williams died? It'll be next week. It'll be 2 years, 3 years, whatever.
Yes,
2 years, I think.
Two.
And they all said, some of the reporters, not all, but some of them said, oh, he was a coward. And I thought, no.
Yes,
that wasn't true. First of all, we've now found out that he had Lewy's dementia in his brain. What was going on with him? It's a form of Alzheimer's. And he had such severe anxiety, and oh my God, the world is so transparent. I was able to find his actual autopsy online.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. And they blacked out his name in the first few pages, but if you actually read all the way through, they gave all his identifying information.
Oh my
gosh. It was wild.
Oh.
But Robin Williams changed. He came in, and what a great gift he gave us. He gave us a gift during his life, of course. But his death gave us a great gift because he opened up the conversation.
Yeah, that's for
and
sure.
And he allowed us to look at it with compassion, right?
Yeah, Yes. You know, I want to ask you something. So you're having this conversation with someone, and your friend or your client, Susan, is presenting you this message of how she is doing more and that she's doing good works there.
Yes.
And that you had, did you have some resolve with that? Did that help you in any way? Because I'm curious, as someone who deals and helps everyone else through grief related to suicide, did that support you, that moment of getting that message and having that understanding yourself?
That message was confirmation, because when I had the initial conversations, they were all telling me stuff. She came onto my inner screen, and she waved at me, and the sense that I got was, Adele, you're reading this right, and everything's okay, and I'm fine. And she was smiling.
Mm.
So at that moment, I had some relief then.
Okay.
As I'm doing the book, I'm going, oh, okay. But then when I got that information, I was so happy. I had thought she was doing other work. That's who she was.
Sure.
You know, but,
sure.
But I was thrilled when I got that information.
Wow.
I was thrilled. Yeah.
What do you want people to understand about suicide?
Oh, golly. Well, I think the biggest lesson about suicide is compassion. People, we live in a very harsh, judgmental world, right?
Yes.
And even the survivors, you know, one, I tell the story in the book, this mom told me, you know, when she comes home from work, she pulls up, her daughter, she has two kids, a son and a younger daughter, and the daughter's outside. She goes, honey, what are you doing out here? And she said, oh, my brother told me to wait out here until you got home. She's like, okay. So they go inside, she goes to the brother's room, and her daughter is behind her, and she goes, thank goodness her son had taken his life by gun. But the gun, the bullet had gone into the light fixture, so there was no light in the room. And so when the mother opened the door and saw what she saw, she got her daughter away. Mm. And then the mother called the authorities. And this was, I will tell you, a number of years ago, but she said her daughter went back to school and the teachers didn't know how to talk to her. Her classmates didn't know how to talk to her. She said, you know, they blamed her for that her husband had a gun in the house. They said,
oh, wow.
Why didn't they see the changes in her son? And she said, you know, Adele, I just thought he was being a normal teenager. Mm. You know, he went to school, he had a job after school, he played on sports teams. I missed it. I didn't see it. She said, one guy at work said to her, well, you went to work, that's why your son died by suicide. And I went, oh my God, everything she did. And she said, but you know, I wasn't mad at that man. He was trying to give me a reason why.
Yes.
But she said, I knew it wasn't a reason why. She said, and this happened 2 weeks before Christmas, and some people would have thought we were strange, but we decided for our younger daughter, we had to have some normalcy.
Yes.
And so we got a Christmas tree, and we did that. She said, amazingly, my husband and I are still married. You know, my daughter's grown now. We eventually moved out of that house. We moved out of that neighborhood. They might have even moved out of the state and got a fresh start someplace else where they weren't always viewed with that eye. Like, for survivors, not only is suicide usually sudden, it's traumatic, and then their mind goes on missions, right? They could put them in a really tight, dark hole.
Sure.
But how people respond to them. One woman told me this story. They weren't married at the time, but she was carrying his child. Her boyfriend comes in the door after work. And he was a vet, and he took the gun out of the night table, and he held it towards her, pointed it towards her, and said, "I'm going to shoot you." And she said, "No, you aren't." And he said, "Why not?" And she said, "You like my mother too much." He said, "Yeah, you're right." And then he took his own life.
Wow.
Now she is carrying their son, and his friend said to her, what did you do to him? That's what they said to her. What did you do to him?
Wow.
Because they had never seen any of his difficulties.
So how do we,
she gave birth,
how do we help these folks have conversations that are maybe not so threatening because, you know, we hear about suicide, as you said, every 13 minutes in the United States. What can we do right now, what can we say to someone then who is struggling and who doesn't understand it, who is afraid to talk about it? What can we do, Adelva? We need, you know, when I'm hearing you talk, my insides are getting all revved up. What can we do right now in our society to help those that are left behind from suicide to move forward? And how can we be better for each other?
Well, I think it's non-judgment. I think it's acceptance. People don't understand grief generally, as you well know.
Yes.
They don't get it. They don't. It's not a disease. It's a process. Everybody needs their own time and space. If you have the death of a grandmother who was 120, we might say she lived a great, good life. You know, recently a friend of mine died last week, and she, you know, major cancer problems, and she died in her sleep. And I thought, how beautiful for her. That's exactly what she wanted, right? How beautiful. But for her husband and children, it's not so beautiful this week. Mm. And certainly not until they get used to it. And when people die by suicide, the surviving people think, I should have done something. I could have, what did I miss? What could I have done?
Mm.
And the deal is, it's not your fault. At that moment in time, whatever was going on, whether it was aided and abetted by addiction or impulsivity or contributing factors of it, because suicide is always a confluence of events. It one thing leads to another, and it becomes a tipping point. There are times where people may decide that they're going to take their lives, and something intervenes and they don't. And there are times when people have been thinking about it on the back burner, and the opportunity presents itself. I spend a lot of my practice time talking to people who are thinking about suicide, because they know that we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we have an agreement, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're interested. And that's it, being just compassionate and talking. I think it was Clarissa Pinkola Estes, the wonderful Jungian analyst, who said, you know, we all need each other. And when something like this goes on, you just... you show up, you know, you bring the casserole. One woman told me she has this wonderful tradition when she knows someone's had a death in the family. I love this. It's going to make me cry telling you about it. But she gets them a candle and writes them a note, a nice candle, and writes them a note, and so that the light will continue.
Wow.
And I thought that, you know, so we need to talk about it. We need to be less judgmental societally.
Yeah, so
we need to teach our kids how to deal with anger.
Okay.
We need to be able to teach. Do you know that they're doing studies now in terms of trauma, and that yoga and mindfulness meditation are so helpful in terms of trauma? And why is that? You're getting back in your body, and
yes,
you're being able to keep your mind learning how, I should say, keep your mind closer to a still point than in that terrible loop of trauma. We're finding great mind, body, spirit connection for people,
yeah,
and that leads to the soulful life.
It does.
You know, I think one of the reasons that we have this energy of suicide is because we're all running around like nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
And everybody's got an ism or this, oh, I don't have enough time. I'm guilty of it too. Mm. I don't have enough. When do we stop and we get soulful enough? You know, for me, everybody likes to say, no, I love to light a candle always, but yeah, I've got to have a flower or a plant where I am. I have to. That helps me.
Yes.
People being in nature. But teaching art, it's what we're going to teach the next generation, you know. I mean, and 22 vets a day, well, that is the horrors of war.
Wow.
Big Pharma at one point had designed a medication, I guess, and I don't know if it was with the government or not, but I assume there was some conversation there. And this medication was to send our young people into battle, that they would go into battle and they would not remember anything. Well,
wow.
I thought, well, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, because their bodies will remember.
For sure.
You know, trauma's in the body. Their bodies will remember. So... that doesn't work. it doesn't work. So what we do is we slow down. We become more soulful. We actually talk to each other. We have to feel to heal. none of us are healing anything unless we feel it. And that's the grief process, too.
So, you know,
I wrote a blog on suicidal grief, and it's gotten so many hits for survivors of suicide. It must have resonated with a lot of people because a lot of people responded to it.
You know,
I guess they needed to hear it.
I just want to stop for a second because one of the things that I just want the audience to be clear about, because we're saying so many things here and you have so much information, that I want the audience, those people that are listening, that are struggling through this, that may be judgmental when they hear a story. I mean, last night I was at an event and there were 8 people in that room who were there because their loved ones committed suicide. And often you see a reaction of some kind. So there were 2 things you said so far, and I want to be clear so the audience hears what you want to tell us and to teach us. And that is, number one, be compassionate. And number two was really to be non-judgmental. And is there one other little third tidbit that we can start to think about when we're talking about other people that are struggling through this loss? Is there one other thing that we can do, Adele?
Well, I have a tidbit, but I also want to say I would suggest not using language commit suicide. It is considered very insensitive by survivors. Suicide is no longer illegal in the Western world. It is in other parts of the world.
Wow.
Now, assisted suicide is another story. But, yeah, that's one thing. The other, you know, we want to raise our emotional quotient, right, how we feel.
Yes.
You know, we want to we want to look for building bridges, right? We want to cultivate compassion. We want to practice empathy. You know, the easy language is, I always say this when couples come in for couples therapy, you know, or family. Okay, here's the bottom line, guys. You have to walk in somebody else's shoes. We do. Mm. And understanding also there's a taboo around mental health and encouraging people that it's okay to get support, or it's okay to call
hotline. Yes.
It's okay that there are people there. And the way we relate to people, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he's very shy, and he's having a hard time with friends, but he needs to be perfect. He's so afraid of not being perfect. And I said, you have to understand that we relate to one another through our humanness.
Mm.
Right? So that's how we understand.
You know, one of the things that I found remarkable in your book was this. It's on page 165, that suicide is universal. Now, we may know that, but to go on to read that most everyone has considered suicide, even in an abstract way, at one time or another. Almost every intelligent and sensitive client in my practice has held the thought, if for only 1 minute, in his or her mind. That was very profound for me to read, you know, to think. And when I sat back and thought about my own life, sure, I felt that when I was a 17-year-old as well, but it was just very remarkable to see. So I didn't think of suicide as being universal as the way that you express it here, but it certainly is.
Well, yeah, and then also if we look at the whole continuum in terms of past lives, don't you think, you know, if we've all been around a number of spins, that we've raised our hand for that experience in a lifetime, too?
Yeah, I think that's,
I mean,
yes.
I think it is universal. And, of course, suicide in ancient Rome and ancient Japan for warriors, it was the honor suicide, right?
Yep.
You know, there were things along that line. And in, you know, during the feudal times in Europe, you know, they had such a high rate of suicide with the people working the farms and doing the work that the church got involved and said, oh, no, no, no. Suicide is now a sin, and if you take your life by suicide, we're going to take all of your property, and, you know, we're going to parade your head around on a stick for the town, and your family will be, you know, totally displaced and destroyed. And that's what the church did then, because why? It upset the economic balance.
You know,
now you people go, I talked to a colleague of mine in the UK, and she has several clients who have the medical means to take their life when they are ready.
Mm. That's another.
The world is changing.
Yeah, that's definitely another conversation for another time, for sure. That's another conversation. You know, again, you are a wealth of information, and I have so many things I want to talk to you about, and we're going to talk about them. We're going to share them with you out there in the world. Again, I am talking to Adele Ryan McDowell, and if you are interested in learning more about Adele and certainly getting her book, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a must read, and it's something you should be if you have been touched by suicide in any way. If you want to learn more about suicide and really go on this journey with Adele in this book, it's well worth it, and you can find more information at makingpeacewithsuicide.com. One of the other questions, that's always on my mind, really. Again, let me step back for a second. I'm telling you, I am in shock that every 40 seconds in the world, something happens. I'm shocked about that. And I understand now how universal it really is. So you've opened my eyes and my mind. Even though when I'm at my events as a channel, there is always somebody in that room who has to deal with that kind of loss. And this may be a difficult question to ask, but what does suicide teach us? What do we learn from this experience, Adele?
Well, I think that it's the master teacher about compassion. But I also think if you look at it from a higher consciousness perspective, mm-hmm. it reminds us that we are souls who are eternal, right?
Yes.
And that suicide is a huge teaching lesson, right? Like my friend Susan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets changed around her because of her death, depending on how they look at it. I think sometimes, like my friend Susan, raised her hand not only for the good work that she would be doing on the other side, but how she would expand the hearts of her family members.
Mm.
I talked to a woman in Washington State, and she contacted me after I'd given a talk in California, and she said to me, she was so upset about her son, whatever else. And I said, your son taught you by his death, Suicide, because it's usually sudden, it is traumatic, it rearranges everything. It's not someone with a long illness where you perhaps were expecting it and hoping it wouldn't happen. And then you feel all those things. It's compassion for yourself. And then so many people who have survived it, they want to go on and do either expressive things, or they want to do advocacy things like the walk out of darkness or whatever, because they want their loved one's death to make a difference. Like, when I'm in Connecticut and the Newtown families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They wanted their children's death to make a difference. That
yes.
was a way of honoring, and what were the lessons? You know, every life is indeed precious, as we all know. And no matter how short or no matter how long, I believe we all raised our soul hands to be here now. And we're all on this trajectory in this crazy mixed-up world, this battle of light and dark, if you will,
mm-hmm.
towards a higher consciousness and becoming beyond our best selves as we know them now. And it has to do with recognizing so much suicide is because people are not the same. There's religious persecution, there's sexual persecution, there's so much bullying, especially for the young people. Parents, there was a talk show one morning, I just heard it say, should six-year-olds have plastic surgery?
Oh,
what?
Boy. Oh, my gosh.
Because the ears were so big and the kid was made fun of and the parents hated seeing that. But, I think there's a lesson for the school and the other parents. Like, what are we doing here?
So, you said you've seen faces and you've felt energy. And when you're working with a client who's lost someone, are you giving your professional advice? Are you talking about that aspect of the loss as well and giving a message? Does that happen in your practice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because if they don't know me, right,
right,
then I'll say, okay, there's this other side of me, and
sure.
I just kind of say, on my inner screen, I'm seeing or I'm hearing, would you be interested in hearing it?
Oh, lovely.
And so they always get a choice, right,
because
those people who see me, they very much like it if whatever I'm getting, you know. And sometimes I don't get anything,
sure.
So I have one woman I talked to, and it was called a suicide. And I have to tell you, I think it might have been a murder. But, it's a little hard. And so on that, I said, well, it seems like there's some, I forgot what I said. It was rather obtuse because that wasn't really going to help her, was it? And for people who have died by suicide, so many of them, they just what I get is they want their loved ones to know, A, they're okay. Please get on with your life. Don't blame yourself. If I've heard it once or a thousand times, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Okay.
You know, and you know, if there are notes left, you know, that it might, often they have some housekeeping, you know, don't forget to get the daughter's medicine, Aunt Sarah's blue, blah, blah. Yeah. I want my daughter to have whatever. There's some of that. And sometimes they're not so nice notes because they're so angry. And for people who are really very in such a mentally chaotic place, right?
Yes.
Not talking about their soul. We're
sure.
talking about the 3D part of them.
Sure.
But they're in a mentally chaotic place. All the family members would say to me, the notes, they use the same word every time. The notes were gibberish. And then I would say they had some profound mental illness, and I said yes, because they were just so scattered.
Wow.
You know, there's the woman who told me she is in Europe taking care of her sick aunt. Her mother is with her son. And then, so the grandmother goes to find the son, I guess dinner's ready or whatever it was, and she sees all this blood, and she got to him in time. And she said, and they got him to the hospital. And said, what happened? And he said, well, the voices.
Mm.
The voices told me everybody on planet Earth was dead. And if I wanted to join my
wow.
family, I needed to die.
Wow.
Right? So you have, for some people, you have that. On a soul level, I must be really clear. I do not believe that suicide is a sin. I know that different people have different opinions, but even the Catholic Church has changed on that, and I'm
yes.
brought up Catholic.
Yeah.
There was a Catholic priest, I was on a radio show, and this woman said, oh, Adele, did I ever tell you the story about this Catholic priest friend of mine? I'm like, no. She said, well, he did all these good works. He was very well known in our community and blah, 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 and he got to the point and said, I'm done. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to take my life. He told all of his superiors, and they buried him in hallowed ground in the church,
wow.
right? And because people understand that for that gentleman, I would call that a death of an ego suicide, not in the psychological sense,
sure.
but in the spiritual sense.
I understand, yeah. You know, there's another interesting line in the book that, and you've just mentioned this a second ago, and you say the soul has moved out of the constraints and limitations of the 3D world and moved into into the non-physical dimension. And I think that's what you're talking about on some level, that
yes.
we leave this physical experience and we journey forward. And you say in your book that suicide does that. It suicide is a fact of life and a means to death for some people.
That's right.
You know, it look, we're talking to Adele Ryan McDowell, PhD. She is the author of Making Peace with Suicide, a book of hope, understanding, and comfort. And as you know, we only bring people on the air here that we enjoy and want to learn from, and certainly have a lot of faith in. And your information is incredible. The book is incredible. The information about by the way, I loved the expanded perspective on the soul, chapter mm-hmm. 10. And you've got some great information in your book. Do you want to offer any final words to our listeners? I know you and I could talk for hours and hours about this topic, and certainly about all the spiritual parts of it. But what final words do you want to leave with our audience?
Oh, I would like to end with a traditional Gaelic blessing.
Okay.
Deep peace.
Mm.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the gentle night to you. Moon and stars pour their healing light on you. Mm. Deep peace to you.
That's a beautiful, beautiful poem. Do you know, have you heard of Bill Douglas before?
No, I haven't.
He has the most beautiful rendition of that prayer.
Oh, does he?
The most beautiful rendition of that prayer. It is powerful and profound. Listen, everyone, you're listening to Adele Ryan McDowell, PhD, the author of Making Peace with Suicide. If you want more information about Adele, go to makingpeacewithsuicide.com. And Adele, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate all your expertise and wisdom on this topic. And until next time, everybody, I send you love.